We serve a great God. What a wonderful time of praise and worship. Thank you, Jesus. Our God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. I never tire of this one. There's nothing that he cannot do. Okay, well, good morning. Well, the message I have for you this morning, I was given over a month ago now. I was meant to be on the weekend when church was cancelled because of the snow. Do you remember that? Yeah. It was only a few weeks ago, believe it or not. We look at the weather now and we feel like we're in the midst of summer. Just a few weeks ago, we had the snow. But hey ho, that's variety, isn't it? Apparently that's good for us. But anyway, the reason I'm saying that is because I've been living with this message for quite a few weeks now. It's been in my heart and in my thoughts. And actually, the delay has been a good thing because it's enabled me to really start to put the word into practice, you know, and to kind of respond to it personally. And basically, it's all about the Holy Spirit. It's all about the Holy Spirit in us and the Holy Spirit flowing through us in real, identifiable ways. And for years, I've been building a collection of quotes on my phone. I've got 700 odd. My phone is kind of limping along now because of it. Apparently, I've put them in the wrong column. I've put them in reminders instead of notices. And every so often, my phone kind of makes a weird noise. And I'm gradually transferring them to a notebook, which is what I should have done in the first place. But anyway, if I'm reading a book and something really impacts me, you know, just a sentence, a comment, a scripture, I make a note of it on my phone. And one of the notes that I have on my phone that I know it now. You know, I've kind of looked at it so many times it's in my head, but it's a Smith Wigglesworth quote. And he says this: many people lose out because their head is too big, too much in the natural, and God cannot get his way. And I love this quote because for me, really, it explains why we don't see enough of the supernatural. Yes. You know? It explains why we don't see more evidence of God in and through our lives. We believe in Jesus. We know there's nothing that he cannot do. But why don't we see the fullness of what we believe for? Well, this is the reason. Our heads are too big, too full of natural thoughts, kind of dipping down into the natural. And we can get so stuck in the natural. Yeah. I myself can also get stuck in the natural, you know. You're believing more what your senses are telling you, what you can see, right, and what you can hear, and what you can feel. Yes. And yet God has called us to believe what he says more than everything else. More than everything we see, more than everything we hear, more than everything we feel. The world says, I'll believe it when I see it. Have you heard that comment? Yeah. Sure you have, many times. I'll believe it when I see it. They want to see it first, don't they? Yeah. The Lord says, believe first and then you'll see. Yeah. That's faith. Believe first, then you'll have the evidence. It's the opposite way to the world's way. It's the opposite way, actually, to natural thinking. Yes. And if I can put it to you like this, natural thinking sinks us. It can sink me. Believing God will lift us up and out and up and over, but natural thinking will sink you. I kind of see this natural world like miry clay, that we can get stuck in and we can sink in. When I was, I think I must have been about 17, first year of A-levels, I went on a geography field trip and got stuck on the North Yorkshire moors in a bog. Right? I don't know if any of you have been stuck in a bog. Muddy clay. But it happens like this. The more you struggle, the more you sink, okay? The more you kind of thrash around, the lower you go. And it happened to me. And let me tell you this, I was waist deep, waist deep. People initially thought it was hilarious. I, of course, even ankle deep was not funny, but the more I, you know, you can picture the scene. And it was a tricky operation to get me out, let me tell you. Because anybody going on to that marshy bit would start to sink themselves. And my geography teacher, bless his heart, Mr. Price, commando style, kind of got over to me and somehow managed to get me out. Thanks to him and Jesus, I'm here today. I could have been swallowed up in the North Yorkshire moors. But my point is this, life can feel like that, can't it? Is it just me? You kind of sink. You feel like you're sinking with the problems and sinking with the pressures and the demands of life. But the Holy Spirit is our lifter. Lifts us up from above, you know. And I've got this most brilliant verse. If we could have it on the screen. King David knew the Lord like this. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Everyone say, firm place to stand. Praise God for that firm place to stand. The rock in the midst of trouble. He puts us on that firm place to stand. Natural thoughts cause your heart to sink. We've all experienced that, haven't we? You know, the thought is too much. This is just too much. This is going to get worse. I can't see this improving. This is just going to get worse. I'm fed up with this and that and the other. You know, and a little bit of fear comes in and a little bit of complaint comes in. A little bit of resentment. And before we know it, we're in that mud and mire. We've shifted off the rock back into the sinking sand. And we need the lifter. The Holy Spirit. I know the Holy Spirit in this way. And I know many of you here do, if not all. We've experienced the lifting power of the Holy Spirit when we start to believe his word. God's thoughts, God's perspective, and we desperately need to see life from his perspective. You know, because our thoughts and perspective, they're not always right, are they? In fact, if we're honest, they're often wrong. We see it wrong, and so we approach it wrong. If you're seeing something wrong, you're going to approach it wrong, you know, and you end up back in that mud and mire. We need him to break in with his new thought. You know, his word, his strategy, so that we will approach it differently and do it differently. Yes. I want you to look at this, another brilliant verse, you'll know it, but Isaiah 40. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. What a win-win. If we were just wait on the Lord, listen to him. We're not just strengthened. I love that there's a kind of double help coming here. We're strengthened, but we're also enlightened. Mm-hmm. If you think about that eagle, when it's airborne, when it manages just with a couple of flaps, not like the sparrow, just a couple of flaps, it's airborne, it starts to see things very differently, doesn't it? Yes. It's up and above the snakes and the lions and all the things that are trying to attack it, above, up and over. And so if we wait on him, he'll lift us up. We'll receive his perspective, his word, his confidence, actually, to do life differently, handle things differently, handle things better, with skill. You know, there's a definition of God's wisdom, and I've got a slide. It says, God's wisdom is skill to live life successfully. Gosh, don't we need that? Yes. You know, his wisdom in every area of life. Yes. Wisdom in relationships. Yes, yes, yes. I mean, let's face it, we can make a mess of it, all of us. Mm-hmm. Saying the wrong thing, doing the wrong thing, having a not so good attitude. Wisdom with children, grandchildren, wisdom at work. At every turn, yes. His wisdom, skill to do things successfully. And it says of Jesus in Isaiah 11, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. And I love that. He has wisdom and understanding for everything. Amen. Absolutely everything. Amen. He is the expert at absolutely everything. You know, and how we need his wisdom. And so we need to wait on him. You know, listen to him. Give him time to speak to us. Give him time to strengthen you. Give him time to enlighten you, really. Show you life from his perspective. Drip feed his thoughts and his ways. So we start to learn and see things differently. But let me put this to you. It's not an alternative, because we all need to give that quality time to him. But if you are in the middle of a busy working day, let's say, you're at work or you're at home with the kids and things are getting a little bit overwhelming. There isn't the time and it just isn't right, especially if you're at work, to kind of get under your desk for an hour and wait on the Lord. We can't do that, can we? It wouldn't be right. You know, so if you're in the middle of this working day, busy, you know, and just getting to the end of your tether a bit, you know, you're on the brink of a breakout of the wrong kind. What I have learned to do, and I do this, is I have a 5-minute Jesus break. Take 5 minutes out as soon as you possibly can and have a 5-minute Jesus break. And what I do, I'm being honest, sharing how, this is how I do it. I sit down, I close my eyes, and I acknowledge him. Lord, you're here with me, right here, right now. You're here with me. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your presence here, right now, this Sunday morning. And I just stay still. You got to teach yourself to do this, because when you're frantic in your head, you're kind of frantic with your body, and you just got to calm. Take a few deep breaths. Just stay still and let him minister to you. He's the Prince of Peace. I tell you what, peace returns pretty quickly. You know, and you might be in your office, or you might have to go into your kitchen, or, you know, quite honestly, sometimes you've got to just get to the loo and lock that door for 5 minutes. Just find somewhere where you can have 5 minutes to do this. And you know, the most precious, amazing thing happens, if we will do this, is that as we acknowledge him, we become aware of him. As we acknowledge the presence of the greater one with us, it's no longer a theory. We experience his presence. I want you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. You'll know this one, most of you, but it's these brilliant couple of verses. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. I'm reading out of the New King James, but it's going to be similar. Whatever, we'll just go through. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. This is a life-changing verse. Really, this is how to live with God throughout our days. If we will do these two verses, in all our ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. Driving your car, acknowledge him. Walking down the street, acknowledge he's with you. At your place of work, whatever it is, he's there. You know, and I really encourage you, don't relate to God in heaven. Relate to God in you, here, yes, on earth, yes, with you, wherever you are. And as you take these few moments, really just to pause, you know, and acknowledge him, just speak to him a bit, you become aware of him. We become aware of him. So precious. Now I know most of you know this, and some of you do this, but who knows, it's not what we know that changes us. It's what we actually do. Day in, day out. Week in, week out. That's what makes the difference. And I personally, I'm really trying to cultivate this consciousness. I think that word consciousness is really important, this consciousness of Jesus in me and with me. And I love stories of men and women over the generations, really, who live with this consciousness of God with them. And because of their relationship with him, saw amazing manifestations of the power of God through their lives. And we're going to have a bit of a story time this morning. I want to read you three stories in the hope that it would just whet your appetite a little bit for developing this consciousness of God personally. Because it's amazing. It's one of the ways really I challenge myself and grow my own appetite for the Lord. I read these stories and they motivate me, you know. So we're gonna read through three of them, three heroes of faith who really saw God do amazing, amazing things through them. Just say to the person next to you, God's with me and God's with you. Okay. Charles Finney. Raise your hand if you've heard of Charles Finney. I'm sure most of you have. Yes. Okay. Charles Finney walked into a factory one day. He got within 8 to 10 feet of two women who burst into tears and fell down. Within minutes, nearly the whole factory of workers were in tears. The owner, not a Christian, recognized this was God. He shut down his factory to give the workers a chance to come to Christ. Charles Finney spoke no words. Yet the room full of workers came under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and nearly all were converted because of the power of God resting upon Finney. Smith Wigglesworth. Love this one. Often called the apostle of faith. He literally saw Book of Acts star miracles. The sick were healed, the dead were raised. He raised his own wife from the dead. And she died again pretty quickly because it was her time. But he didn't want her to go. He had such faith. He just said, in the name of Jesus. She came back and she said, Smith, it's my time. I've got to go. Off she went. But the point is, he had faith, you see? Anyway, in San Francisco, they laid out the sick on mattresses in front of him. And when he walked by them, his shadow passed over, like Peter. Remember the Book of Acts? They were healed. In Switzerland, a very sick child was brought to the meeting, and the doctor said the sickness is to do with the head. Smith was shown by the Spirit that the sickness was of the stomach, and he laid hands on the stomach and prayed. The child vomited a worm 16 inches long. Who knew? Holy Spirit. I mean, you weren't expecting that, right? I wasn't expecting that when I read it. The sickness wasn't of the head, it was of the stomach. The Spirit showed him. He prayed, out came the problem. John G. Lake. Who's heard of him? Just out of interest. Okay, we love him. If you've read him, oof. Amazing, amazing, amazing man of God. An American, spent a lot of his time ministering in South Africa. He had such an understanding, really, of the kingdom of God and the power we have over the dominion of darkness, the enemy and everything to do with him and his kingdom. In 1910, there was a deadly plague in Africa where he was ministering to the sick and the dying. And a doctor asked him, John, what do you use to protect yourself from this disease? He replied, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, you could say that in a religious way, but he really had faith, the power of Jesus in him and upon him. He said, I believe as long as I keep my soul, interesting this, as long as I keep my soul in contact with the living God, so his Spirit will be flowing into my soul and body. No germ will ever attach itself to me. The Spirit of God will kill it. He asked the doctor to perform an experiment on him. He said, take a living disease off a recently dead body, proven to be living under a microscope first. Place it on my hand. As I put my hand under the microscope, you will watch that disease die. The doctor did. What happened? The disease died. He watched it die under the microscope. John had such faith in the power of God in him and upon him, it overpowered and defeated that disease. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. Yes. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. Isn't he this Jesus that we serve? Amen. What is possible for us, church? You know, I think, you know, I'll speak personally. I'm so aware I live in such a... I'm just scratching the surface of my potential. We're just scratching the surface of what we could live in and see in our day, in our time, in this part of the United Kingdom. These stories, they bless me, but I have to say they kind of agitate me at the same time. you know? It's like a sheepdog nipping at the heels. Come on, don't settle there. There's so much more, you know? Motivate me really to reach forward for the will of God. And my flesh is like yours. It's similar in nature in that it just kind of wants to settle. Are you aware of that? In your own kind of natural self, we just kind of want to settle. Settle for how things are. Your flesh and my flesh want us to just kind of level off, if you like. Live out our days ignoring God because everything else seems more important. Just life is important. Life is busy. There's so much to do. You know, I'm responsible for so much stuff. Well, gosh, yes. I'm not saying natural stuff isn't important, but there is a higher agenda. And somehow there's a way in the spirit for all of us to do the things that we're responsible for and go to work and pay the bills and still reach for the supernatural. We can stay so earth-focused and earth-bound, and yet the spirit in us yearns jealously, Scripture says. The spirit in us is jealous for you and I to live supernaturally. Look, Jesus. There is no good or excellent without him. The only good thing in us is Jesus. But if we aim to be like him, you know, and really make that our goal, we're not going to level off at average. Not going to level off for a natural life. Like John G. Lake, you know, having our souls in constant contact with the living God, conscious of the greater one in us. I mean, really, think about it throughout your days as you go down and have tea and coffee later on, conscious of the greater one in you. Conversations that you're having, they're not just kind of, how are you, how's your week? You know, Lord, do you have anything you want to say to me, to this person through me? Have you got anything encouraging? Can I say something to really bless them from you? Or, you know? Just this mindfulness, conscious of the greater one in us, so that we're so full of him, he spills out. That's the goal, isn't it? I'm loving reading 2 Corinthians this month. I don't know about you, but some of my favorite verses are in there. I love this one. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Now, you will see, to your right, my left, there is an oil diffuser. That's actually an oil diffuser in our house, and I wanted to use that. I don't know if you can see from that picture. It actually says True Grace. But I wanted to use this because for me it's a really good analogy of being in contact, our souls in contact with the Lord. You know, for those of you who don't, look, I'm just going to spell it out. For those of you who don't know how these things work, if the sticks are in the oil kind of travels up the stick gets absorbed with the oil and gives off the fragrance. The nice fragrance fills the room. Okay, if we are dipped in Jesus, if I can put it like this, stay dipped in him. We become full of him, his fragrance. Wherever we go, he goes. You know what I mean? It's a helpful reminder for me. Just stay dipped in him. Staying dipped in him, conscious of him in us, relating to him and his, the oil of his spirit filling us, being diffused out of us. So we look like Jesus, sound like Jesus, act like Jesus, his personality, if you like, in our personality. That's the goal. It's the goal for all of us. It should be our most important goal. The thing that we actually think about and aim for. Not just being better at this, that, and the other, but being like him. More and more like him. Because actually, the more like Jesus we are, the better we are at everything else. Right? Whatever it is you're called to do, you'll be better in the home. You'll be better at your place of work. Jesus in us makes us better. Okay, not through our own efforts, thank God, but through real relationship with him. Now, I know you know this stuff, but I trust Jesus that this is what we need to hear this morning. Most of us here know a lot about Jesus. Most of us here, we know how to be a good disciple. It's about actually having a real relationship with him that changes our days. Without the real relationship, it's all just theory. It's all very dry. An uphill struggle, let's be honest. You know, it's a lot of hard work, but he is the life. He is the lifter. He's the one that makes scripture real in our experience. You know, he opens our eyes to see Jesus with us. I love Psalm 16. It says, "You show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy." And every day, if you think of it like this, every day, whatever it is you're called to do, there's a path of life through that day. It's a path of life. It's a path of death as well. There's a path of life. So wherever you are, whoever you're with, there's a path of life, a path in the spirit for you to walk on. Overcoming flesh, your own flesh, and other people's. What a miracle that is. Don't we need to be able to over... I mean, it's one thing to overcome your own flesh, but don't we need to overcome other people's flesh? Because let's face it, you can be getting on all right, just fine. You and Jesus going through your day. Lovely. And then somebody dumps on you in some way. I don't know how that is, but they cut across you and it's not nice, you know, and it's not fair and it's not right. But then your flesh can react a little bit, can't it? Or maybe more than a little bit. But if we will stay on this path of life, you know, our souls connected with him, aware of him, he enables us. There's a verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I think it is. Possess your own vessel. He enables us to have self-control over this vessel. Amen. Over this mouth, over this heart, head. Okay, it's the power of the Spirit to really stay on the path of life and live victoriously, navigating your way through your day so you're not dragged down by your own flesh or anybody else's. He helps us. Holy Spirit helps us. You know, if you ask him, he will help you. He's amazing at that. We just need to learn to depend on him. Really, really aware he's with us and depend on him and expect him to answer when we've asked him. You know, you ask him to help, you expect him to help you. You have a different power supply. Being a good disciple is not about how much you know. It's about how dependent you are. Of course, we need to know and we need to grow in our knowledge of the word. But if that's all there is to it, then there's a lot of religious people out and about who would be seeing mighty expressions of the Holy Spirit through their lives. It's not about knowledge. It's about dependence. And actually, as we grow in knowledge, the challenge is to maintain our dependence on him. Sometimes, if I can put it to you like this, sometimes our knowledge of the Lord and his word can cause us to assume things. In any given situation, if you know some stuff, if you've been a Christian for a while and you know some scriptures, you can assume you know. Oh, well, you know, it's this. We need to do this. God's saying this. We know the general will of God, and so we can assume we know what he's saying. No. No, no. No, 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 no. We need to keep this invisible L plate on our backs. Just keep the attitude of a novice. Okay? I'm a learner, you're a learner. We will always be learners, and we need to keep that in mind. The goal is never to know enough that we live independent of him. The goal is to know more, but to grow independence. It's the opposite of the natural. Your children grow up and their goal is that one day they're independent. In the spirit, we grow up and our goal is the opposite. We are more dependent than ever before, more aware of our need, small in our own eyes. You know, just that attitude of the child looking for the father. You know, like children, if you've disappeared out of their sight for a few minutes, they're looking. We've got to keep that attitude. Be the child again. Stay the child. Lord, what are you saying? Where are you leading? You know, the Christian life is really simple. Have a relationship with him and let him lead. Be dependent. What are you saying? You know? Jesus said, love this. Come to me every day and drink. John 7:37-38. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Jesus in, Jesus out. I put the words drink and believe there in caps because that's our part. That's what we need to do. We need to drink him in. Spend time with him. Absorb him. Absorb his word. Absorb his presence. Meditate on his word. Pray. And then as we go about normal life, at home, at work, in the car, in the supermarket, we believe him out. I believe that promise that I read this morning. I believe I prayed and he heard my prayer and he will answer.
Amen.
You know, I believe I'm going to hear his voice as I go about my day. He's going to order my steps. Actively believing, drinking him in, believing him out. Drinking him in, believing him out. That is how we see the flow of living water. His life through ours. Okay? Now, I want to share, I want to share a picture that I had a few weeks ago now when Pastor Judith and I were praying. And it's kind of scripture in picture form. For me, it's a really precious thing that I received, and I think about it most days. It's really impacted me, and I tried to find an image on the internet that kind of came somewhere close, and it really doesn't come that close to what I saw, but I'm going to talk you through it. Basically, what I saw was a dark tunnel, and at the end of it was a very small door, and it was kind of a moving vision I had. I was walking along this tunnel and I knew that the door, it wasn't just perspective that made it small. I knew it was actually a really small door. I am a small person, but I knew I would need to bow to even open that door. Okay? And in the vision I did, in the vision I kind of walked along this corridor and I bowed and I opened that small door. And what happened was the other side of that door was the ocean. The ocean filled that tunnel. And the small door symbolizes the need for humility, doesn't it? You know, being convinced of our need of God. But if we will humble ourselves low enough to open that door, we open the door really to the greatness of God, all of his power, all of his ability. Think about the ocean. More than enough. You know? Greater than we know. The Lord wants to flood through all of our lives in that way, like a mighty ocean. I don't know how this is going to work out. All I know is, if the ocean comes through a small door, we're going to know about it. You know? God's going to become very evident in our lives. He's going to show up and change things. We'll have our own stories of faith.
Amen.
If we will bow. Now, thinking of this reminded me of a prophecy in Ezekiel 47. We're going to read through it together. I think it's going to come up on the screen, actually. Ezekiel 47:1-9. Okay. So this is a prophecy, okay? Remember, Old Testament prophecy. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple. And there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water. The water came up to my waist. again. He measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there, along the bank of the river, there were very many trees on one side and on the other. Then he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the river go, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. This prophecy, it is referring, the river is referring to the Holy Spirit, okay? Just to put it into New Testament theology. And like the man in the vision, we're to walk deeper into the river until we reach a point we're out of our depth. Not ankle deep, not knee deep, not waist deep. Out of our depth. Your feet no longer on the bottom controlling everything. My feet no longer on the bottom controlling everything. Really, it's talking about letting him take over. And I love verse 9. Wherever the river flows, everything will live. Now just imagine the river of the Holy Spirit flowing through you, bringing life to other people. It might just be a conversation with a work colleague or a neighbor or a family member, but it's different than before. The river of life is flowing through you. It's easy to talk about Jesus. It's easy to kind of share a testimony. It's kind of natural, naturally supernatural. And this is not beyond us. This is what I kind of want to say this morning. This life, it's not beyond us. In Ezekiel's vision, the water started as a trickle, remember? And very often what we have or think we have from the Lord, it can look like nothing in our eyes. We just think, this is so small. Is it even relevant? Are they even going to be interested in what I've got to say? It looks like a trickle. But if we are faithful to take the step and give the little, Holy Spirit can work. The trickle can become a flow of life. He knows what to say. Think about this. You know, he knows what the real issues are in people's lives. He knows what keeps them awake at night. He knows what makes them anxious through the day. And we're anointed to speak about Jesus. You're anointed to speak. Just say to the person next to you, you're anointed to speak about Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord, if you're born again, filled with the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, church, to preach good news to the poor. When I was preparing for the prayer meeting last month, I was really impacted by John 17, but particularly verse 20, where Jesus said, I've prayed for the believers, but I've also prayed for those who will believe through the words of the believers, or through your words, he says. And I don't know, it just really hit me afresh. Our words are important. Yes. These little nothing conversations we have, they're actually really important. It's giving the Lord something to work with in that person's life. Okay, and it might just be a trickle, a little testimony here, a little mention of Jesus there. But then the Holy Spirit can use our words and work. Bring conviction. Remind them. There's an ocean that God is wanting to release into our world, you know, and the Spirit in us is yearning jealously. The Spirit in us is yearning jealously to see this river of life flow through. Now, the same day I had this vision of the small door and the ocean, Pastor Judith watched a program on TV called Pilgrimage. I think she mentioned it actually, but the presenter went to a church in Bethlehem called the Church of the Nativity. And would you believe it, the entrance to that church is through a small door called the Door of Humility. Love that. Same day, I had that vision. She called me up. She said, "You're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe what I've just seen on TV. There's a church in Bethlehem, Church of Nativity. The door's called the Door of Humility, and it's really, really small. You can't get the scale of it quite like that. But it's small. You would have to bow to get into the church, right? We just concluded, Lord, you are speaking loud and clear. The only way to access your power that you want us to, and want all of us to, really is to bow. Church, God is wanting to become so much more evident in our lives. Amen. Whoever you are, however, at whatever stage of your journey with Jesus you're at, however kind of mature or immature you think you are, God is God. It's not about knowledge, it's about dependence. If you all depend on him, drink him in, believe him out, he will flow, okay? Jesus in, Jesus out. Now, I'm going to finish with this. As you know, I like watching food programs on TV. I know the channels. If I put it on, David's not around. I go to the Food Network or Good Food or Plus One. Anyway, my point in saying this is I've noticed that my small talk, somehow, I don't even know how, but it just always comes back to food. I don't even plan it. It's not like a conscious thing. I don't think about it. It just does. You know, best meal you've ever had. That's how I kind of start off a conversation. Worst meal you've ever had. Meal you'd really like to have before you go and be with the Lord. You know, and I could go on. I have so many of them. You know, just endless conversations about food. I actually managed to hold a conversation with Pastor Colin about hairy bikers. Don't know if you know about them, but I did. Yes, it was an interesting one. Anyway, my point in saying it is, right, what has gone in over time, it just comes out. I don't have to think about it. It just comes out. And I know the Lord is really wanting more of him, you know, for me to be more filled with him so that more of him comes out. So without thinking, I'm just like, do you know what? It's got to be relevant to who you're with. But if I'm with one of you, for example, I might say, I was reading the word the other day. I had this revelation. Do you want to hear it? Hopefully you do. Well, here you go. All right? Or if you're with a non-Christian, I was reading the Bible the other day and I read this verse. It really fits your situation perfectly. Boom. If God's in it, it's going to be life to them. Yes. Really life-giving, and it's going to cause them to be thirsty for more. That's the plan. Okay, and it's not, we're not weird with it or unrelatable. Jesus wasn't weird or unrelatable, was he? He, full of joy, full of peace. The crowds were attracted to him. Children were attracted to him. Who knows, children are not attracted to weirdos. Okay, but it's his spirit in us flowing out. And who knows where this will take us? If we're available, really. How the kingdom of God will be able to break out through this small door. If I can put it like this, there is a small door and a big ocean for every one of us. If we will bow and humble ourselves, not lean on our own understanding, but develop this lifestyle of acknowledging him, living conscious of him, yielded to him, his river of life will flow. If we will take, church, listen to this, if we will take our feet off the bottom, you know, the man in the river, not just be ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, but out of our depths, he will be able to take over in amazing ways. Then things will get really exciting. God through our lives. Now, I just want to tell you this practically. In my experience, seeing more of God in my life is absolutely process. I ask in prayer, and then life goes on. But you know, God hears our prayers. And when I've prayed, and I have prayed, and I am praying, Lord, more of your life flowing through me, there's a challenge comes. If you're willing to pray this prayer this morning, that a challenge will come, and it will be a challenge to yield in some way. I don't know how. It will be to do with the circumstances and issues of your life. But there will be a challenge to yield. But if we will yield, We will experience the life and power of God in a new level. The water will rise. If you think about the Ezekiel, in terms of that, the Ezekiel 47. You pray it, the challenge comes. You can say no. You can always say no. But if we yield and say yes, bow. Submission, really, brings the power of God. And this is what he's after. I just want you to close your eyes. And if it's in your heart to pray this morning, I encourage you to pray. You can use the verse, Proverbs 3. Just pray, Lord, help me do this. Help me trust in you more. Better than I have done. Trust in you more. Not leaning on my own understanding. Not leaning on my own thoughts and experiences and what my head tells me. But depending on you. Keeping that L plate on. Aware that I'm a learner. Help me, Lord, to acknowledge you. Every day, Monday through to Sunday, let me acknowledge you every day, conscious of you with me. And I invite you and give you permission to lead me. If that's your heart, pray it. Thank you, Jesus.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.